ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 40। नदति क्वचित् उत्कंठो, नदति क्वचित् उत्कंठो, विलाज्जो नृत्यति क्वचित्, विलज्जो नृत्यति क्वचित्, क्वचित् तद् भावनायुक्तस्, क्वचित् तद् भावनायुक्तस्, तन्मयो अनुचकारः, तन्मयो अनुचकारः, नदति क्वचित् उत्कंठो, विलज्जो नृत्यति क्वचित्, क्वचित् तद् भावनायुक्तस्, तन्मयो अनुचकारः, नदति क्वचित् उत्कंठो, विलज्जो नृत्यति क्वचित्, क्वचित् तद् भावनायुक्तस्, तन्मयो नुचकारः। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन प्लीज काइंडली रिपीट। नदति एक्सक्लेम्स लाउडली एड्रेसिंग द लॉर्ड, ओ कृष्ण। क्वचित समटाइम्स, उत्कंठ बीइंग एंग्शियस, विलज्जः विदाउट शेम, नृत्यति ही डांसेस, क्वचित समटाइम्स, क्वचित समटाइम्स, तद् भावना विद थॉट्स ऑफ कृष्ण, युक्तः बीइंग एब्जॉर्ब्ड, तत् मयः thinking as if he had become Krishna, anuchakara imitated he her indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him, and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes. And in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman, but one must go still further to realize Paramatma and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya or Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellows of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry. Nadati. Again, a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj sometimes see that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child, saying, "My dear child, do not cry, I am coming." Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, "Here is my Lord is coming." Thus the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord. Just as the cowherd boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी
वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. This is very sweet verse from chapter 4 of Canto 7, which is entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Such a contrast. Here the chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe, and the verses which we are reading are extolling the ecstasies Prahlad Maharaj is feeling when he is having darshan of the Lord in his performance of bhajan. Very sweet. One place, a living entity who is part and parcel of Krishna is exhibiting its fullest of possible envy towards the establishment of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and on the other hand the living entity is experiencing the greatest of the ecstasy in his loving and serving mood towards the same establishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam brings out such wonderful things which are apparently, not exactly apparently, but which are contradictory in natures, as we are seeing today. Because of his association, sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So these ecstasies one experiences in one's performance of devotional service by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, these cannot be imitated. One cannot imitate such feelings of love and affection, because of which such bodily transformations can be experienced. There is a tendency we hear of, it's very famous, imitation, because it's cheap, it's very easily can be imitated. By seeing the form of the Lord, one can start crying. If he brings a particular feeling of destitute or feeling of great suffering, and tears may start coming out when one is seeing the Lord, and one may feel, my God, the tears are coming. Looks like it's real, or it's a great spiritual affection or attachment to the Lord or something like that. But it not necessarily. It can be a just a material sentiment which has arisen out of one's own concern for one's own situation, which he wants to be relieved of. So it's very commonly possible to misunderstand sometimes, you know, some bhasa, some, you know, a flavor of feelings, bhavana for the Lord arise in our personality because of particular kind of, you know, temperament or approach towards the Lord. It may happen, but one should understand that the intensity with which we express our feelings and tears towards the Lord, after some time, same thing we will do for the other objects of this material world. So we can understand that it's like in the same way, it's not exactly spiritual ecstasy. So one should be very careful in understanding one's, you know, feelings or sentiments when one expresses towards the Lord. It's not wrong that one should cry in front of the Lord with prayers in one's mind or heart. It's not wrong, because it's approach towards the Supreme Lord to express our precarious or difficult situation. But along with that sentiment, there should be a resolute determination that, my dear Lord, let me follow what you have told me. Let me follow the process of chanting Hare Krishna more sincerely, more nicely. Let me do your service more sincerely, more wonderful way by which it is free of errors or mistakes. In that manner, there should be simultaneous determination to perform our devotional service very nicely, along with the sentiments we may express or we may show in front of the Lord. Both should go together, then it's in the right direction. But both are not going in the same way, then it's just we are, you know, manorathena sati dhavato bahi, like mind is running, sitting on a chariot, it's running. So we may become sentimental people, which doesn't have a foundation of spirituality, foundation of principles of devotional service. The principle of devotional service is wherein one wants to love as well as serve Krishna. So this is very important aspect. I'll come back to this aspect by the end of our discussion. But before that, we'll try to discuss something which Srila Prabhupada is hinting towards in his purport. And we'll come back to these ecstasies in the end part of our discussion. Srila Prabhupada, he is talking about these feelings of devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalist. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the mercy and the holy name from his spiritual master, and spiritual master instructed him that go on chanting the holy names of the Lord, distribute the holy names to one and all, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. And when he was chanting, he was experiencing greatest of the ecstasy. Sometimes he used to cry loudly, sometimes he used to laugh loudly, dance hours together. Sometimes he used to fall down on the ground unconscious, crying tears. So many wonderful symptoms Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. And he felt Jaya Shishi Krishna Balaram Shishi Radha Sham Sundar Lalita Vishaka Shishi Gaur Nitai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he received the treasure of holy name from his spiritual master, he relished it so much, and he was Simple. His preaching was very simple. He just used to chant, dance, and walk on the streets. And just by seeing the ecstatic symptoms exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and no doubt his beauty, such a splendorous beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his beautiful golden form, everyone was just enchanted and attracted, and they were not knowing that they were into something else, but they left what they were doing and they just started following, as if some spell, magical spell has been put on them. They used to just follow, raise their hands, dance along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching. Especially when he was traveling to South India or traveling towards the north from Jagannath Puri to via Varanasi, Allahabad, and coming to Braj. That was the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching the holy names as given by his spiritual master. And especially when he came to Varanasi, because we know Varanasi is very famous, very old city, and very famous for followers of Shankaracharya, the Mayavad philosophy, wherein they consider the form, transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be illusion, or to be mundane, to be material. So they are great blasphemers or offenders of the Supreme Lord, but they consider themselves the great, the highest of all the spiritualist or religionist. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Navadvip Leela, he was a householder, grahastha. He was practicing and preaching. But he saw that his preaching is not very effective, because some people are attracted to me and they are taking to the practice of chanting the holy names, but majority of the people are not able to accept it. Especially the Mayavadis, the blasphemers, or the logicians, they are not able to get mercy. They are not able to follow what I have come to give them. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides in his heart that I should take sannyas. Because unless I take sannyas, because it's a tradition that if a sannyasi is there, everyone offers his respects to him, whether or not he follows him. It's a custom, it's a etiquette that one respects a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding and deliberating on this aspect, he took to renunciation, took to sannyas order, in order to attract those who are being a kind of spared from his Sankirtan movement. He wanted them also to get the mercy. And that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, main purpose or main, in the beginning time of his sannyas period, he was traveling and preaching, because he wanted to reach every individual, possible individual, who can be given mercy of the Lord, who can be given the holy name, the bhakti. And he wanted to eradicate all the misconceptions which people are carrying about the Siddhanta, about the philosophy of Vaishnavism. So on his way, when he came to Varanasi, and Varanasi, the abode of Lord Mahadev Shiva, he was visiting the temple of Vishwanath. And when he was visiting, as usual, he was chanting, dancing, and he was just being mad in chanting the holy names. And all the people of Varanasi, by seeing such a charismatic personality, they never saw such a sannyasi. They had an experience of many, many sannyasis, seeing many, many sannyasis, but all sannyasis are like dumb, without any emotions, feelings exhibiting, just dry faces with no, you know, nothing on the face. Such sannyasis, huge number of sannyasis they were seeing every day in Varanasi. But such a dancing sannyasi on the streets, he is dancing, chanting loudly holy names, crying out. They never saw such a thing any time in Varanasi. So everyone was attracted, seeing how the Lord is experiencing such great ecstasy, chanting out, loudly crying out. Everyone was following him, going to take darshan of Vishwanath and coming back. People were just mesmerized. Within no time, all throughout Varanasi, there was only talk of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone was talking about him. What a great sannyasi, what a wonderful sannyasi. How much he loves chanting and how much he dances. Everyone was talking about. And naturally, when the talk spreads, everyone comes to know. And the news came to the camp of great sannyasi leader of that time, Prakashananda Saraswati, who was having 60,000 of stalwart sannyas disciples. Huge following. And when he heard that there is a sannyasi who is from Bharati Sampradaya, actually means our Sampradaya only. Bharati Sampradaya has taken sannyas. And what he is doing? He is dancing on the streets like a madman. So Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur immediately started criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that he is just a magician, he is not a sannyasi actually. He is just doing some spells and making people follow him, big crowd, and he is chanting like this. This is not the dharma of a sannyasi. Sannyasi means he should study Vedanta Sutra. He should be putting all his energy, intelligence in studying the Vedic literatures, Vedanta Sutras, and meditating on impersonal Brahman. That was his understanding of what renunciation or what a sannyasi should be doing. So he was outrightly immediately started criticizing. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees heard this, they felt great pain in their heart. They said, why this person is, you know, blaspheming? So naturally devotees are very compassionate. They feel, you know, that Prakashananda Saraswati should also get mercy. So there was one Maharashtrian Brahman who was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he arranged all the sannyasis to come for prasad at his place, and simultaneously he called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Because devotees informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, Prakashananda Saraswati is criticizing you like this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything. So then all the sannyasis, they came, they were sitting on a raised platform. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also came at his house. And he came, he washed his hands and legs, and he sat there only, where, you know, all the sannyasis, everyone washes their feet and hands. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat there. And seeing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sat there, he just didn't sit, simply. He started, you know, exhibiting his effulgence, the Brahman effulgence, which is just a tiny manifestation of his personality. So when they saw that effulgence coming from that personality who is sitting at a not a very clean place externally, they felt something, you know, oh, he's also sannyasi, why is sitting there? So a kind of a compassion or a kind of a feeling of accepting him to their place, to their, you know, stretcher, came out from their heart. And then, you know, one of the sannyasi went and, you know, lifted him. Why you are sitting here? Come sit with us. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was made to sit among all the sannyasis. And then Prakashananda Saraswati had many questions, because he is a stalwart follower of Shankaracharya, studying all the time Vedanta Sutra and all the juggleries of explanations of, just his mind was fully absorbed in those things. So he asked, you are a sannyasi, why you are madly, you know, chanting these holy names and dancing in the streets? That's not the activity or a function or duty of a sannyasi. Sannyasi should study Vedanta. Why you are doing this? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, what can I say? Actually, when my spiritual master gave me the initiation, he gave me this holy name. That time he gave me an instruction. He said, Vedanta study is not your adhikar. You are not entitled to study Vedanta Sutra because you are a fool. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master considered me a fool. That's why he told, don't touch Vedanta Sutra. You don't have adhikar to do that. You simply chant the holy names which I have given and everything will be achieved. And I did that. I simply followed my spiritual master. He said, I am fool, so I am fool. I am just simply chanting. But when I was chanting the holy names, I was experiencing great ecstasy. I was sometimes loudly calling out, laughing, crying. Sometimes I was dancing. I was totally unaware of externals, what is happening around me. I was just immersed in chanting the holy names and experiencing great happiness and ecstasy. So after seeing all these effects happening with me, I was afraid. I went to my spiritual master, begged to him, said, my dear spiritual master, I don't know what is happening with me. I'm becoming mad. I'm dancing sometimes, I'm sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, sometimes falling on the ground. What is happening to me? Please explain. And then my spiritual master told me, you are very fortunate. Lord Krishna has blessed you immensely. Therefore, all these transformations are happening in you. You have actually attained the perfection of liberation. You have attained the fifth perfection of liberation, Pancham Purushartha. You have attained love for God. That's the ultimate thing to achieve. And that's why I'm just simply going and chanting. And Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his young age was a great Pandit. He was Nimai Pandit. He was such a scholarly person. Nobody can stand in front of him. He knew that. So he thought maybe he's just trying to make a mockery of me or something, saying that I'm a fool, you know, I don't know anything. Then he asked another question. He said, okay, whatever you say, your spiritual master told you fool and told you to chant. But then along with chanting, why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? That's the dharma of a duty of a sannyasi. You should do that. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a great humbleness, he said that if you allow me, if you do not mind, I can try to reply your answer. Then all the sannyasis, seeing his, a humble gesture and etiquette of always considering oneself, smaller or lower, they were very happy. They thought he's such a gentleman, such a nice person, kind-hearted person. He's asking our permission to answer what the question has been asked to him. So all of them said, don't worry, we'll not mind whatever you say. You just tell us why you are not studying Vedanta Sutra, instead just chanting the holy names. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually Vedanta Sutra, they are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are transcendental. So therefore, there cannot be any mistake. There cannot be any illusion, inefficiency in the Vedanta Sutras. It's not possible because it is coming from a transcendental source. But somehow or other, your Acharya Shankaracharya, he has covered the true meanings of Vedanta Sutra and given the clouded explanation of jugglery of words, because of which the pure meaning, the pure direct meaning of Vedanta Sutra is not understood. And therefore, and then he went on explaining how Shankaracharya was instructed to come down from Kailash, come down in this incarnation in order to deviate people from the true path. So he gave elaborate explanation. There was a good discussion between all of them. I'll not go into those details now. But By his charismatic explanations, he convinced, practically transformed the heart of all the sannyasis. Everyone was struck with wonder with the explanations given, and they could appreciate in their heart that this sannyasi, what he is saying is true, is correct. And the explanations which Shankaracharya has given to us is misleading. Misleading from the root, right path. And everyone actually surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were converted to the cult of bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the hardest of the impersonalists, Prakashananda Saraswati, he was converted by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it's not natural for the living entity to be impersonalist. It is artificial. It's an unstable state. Like in chemistry, we have understandings of different substances, particles, stable, unstable, like that. So unstable are always volatile. They always tend towards, they try to settle themselves and stabilize themselves by taking some electron or proton, like that. So similarly, being an impersonalist is a volatile situation, because by nature the soul has an eternal relationship with Krishna. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. A relationship is what brings the living entity ultimate satisfaction and happiness. And impersonalism or impersonalistic philosophy denies the relationship. It just opposes the idea of being related. And that's what causes so-called renunciates to become very greatly hard-hearted personalities. I remember one time with some of the group of devotees from Chaupati, long back, maybe 10 years or so, or even 10, 12 years back, we went to Badrinath on a small pilgrimage with some 100, 120 devotees were there. So that time we were climbing a hill which is called as Narayan Hill. It's just next to the temple of Badrinath. So we were climbing and we saw there was a cave with all stacks of big stones. A cave was made inside. And we were, as usual, chanting, dancing, and we were climbing the uphills to go and see the footprints of Lord Narayan on one of the shilas which is imprinted there. And when we are playing mridangam and chanting and ecstasy and happiness, we are climbing up, suddenly a personality with a matted hair and a beard with a saffron cloth came out of the cave from there. And as soon as he came out, he started shouting, yelling practically, "Stop! Don't make noise! Here I am doing meditation. Why you are making noise? Don't make noise." So he was shouting like that. We were not doing any materialistic thing or any music from any movie or anything like that. We were simply chanting the holy names and playing the mridangam, karthal. But he was such a rude towards his approach of hearing the sankirtan. He wanted shanti, peacefulness, because he wanted to meditate on impersonal Brahman. So we can understand this hard-heartedness which has come in his personality is because he is not trying to relate, trying to have a relationship. He just wants to merge. And as long as one denies relationship, one will experience greatest of the distress in his life. Because it is natural for living entity to be related. It's his nature. He is made up of a relationship of love in a particular type of rasa, a particular type of relationship with the Absolute, with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it is a kind of murder to practice impersonalism, murdering one's own self. It's a suicide. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns, Mayavadi bhasha sunale hoy sarvanash. One should not hear impersonalistic philosophy, Mayavad philosophy, because it's offender. It denies the transcendental form, transcendental pastimes, transcendental paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord, which is full of ecstasies, happiness. And when Lord Krishna appeared in Nandagaon, in the place, many personalities, they were appearing invisibly and offering their prayers and obeisances to the Lord. And one of them were the Vedas personified. They came and they were offering prayers, glorification to Lord Krishna who has appeared. But it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Krishna was hearing those Vedic hymns, he was not very attracted by that. But when the gopis around Mother Yashoda, when they were chatting, you know, Krishna was trying to hear the village talk of Braj. You know, what they are talking? Are they talking about me? Are they, you know, describing my, you know, beautiful form or beautiful activities? So basically Krishna was very much attracted by the Gramya Katha of the Brajavasis than the Vedic personified, you know, glorifying with hymns, Vedic hymns, with Sanskrit poetry, such wonderful compositions. Krishna was not very attracted by that. So this shows how much prominence or how much importance Krishna gives to the relationships which are based on love and service. And that's what Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the acharyas have come down to give us, that treasure. Therefore, it is very important that we keep relationships very positive on the spiritual platform with one and all, because that's our eternal nature. It's not that devotees only relate with Krishna in the spiritual world. No, devotees relate with each other. The other day was our Radha Raman Dev's appearance. So during that time, we were remembering Gopal Bhatta Goswami. If you remember, Gopal Bhatta Goswami is from South India. Rup and Sanatan are from Bengal. Total difference of culture. But as soon as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when, you know, his parents passed away, he left for Vrindavan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that when your parents pass away, you go to Vrindavan and meet other devotees there. So he went there, and as soon as they met Rupa and Sanatan and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, for the first time, they accepted him as their lifelong friend. How is it? You know, they never met, practically never met in their this past time. But as soon as they met, they had such intimate relationship as if, you know, they are living always together. How is it possible that two individuals with totally different backgrounds are coming and meeting for the first time, and they are feeling as if they are very much closely related to each other? Because there was one common thing for them, and that was their relationship and love and service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was the thing which brought them together in such a close and intimate way. And Srila Prabhupada, bringing him in front of all of us, has given us the same cause, same purpose, same thing, to be united together for loving and serving Srila Prabhupada. coming together and enhancing the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's the spiritual world. So therefore, it is very important that we focus on having spiritual relationships among each other. And the greatest challenge which we have for having spiritual relationship among each other is our tendency to be the enjoyer or to be the center of enjoyment. That's the, you know, a stone, maybe we can say, in between the two, you know, attracting elements. This mentality is very deep down in our consciousness, because we have been in the material world since time immemorial. We don't know how long we have been exhibiting this tendency to enjoy everything for ourselves. How much it is deep. And every now and then, when we are practicing devotional service in the association of devotees, we exhibit this tendency. And that's how we pollute the pure transcendental experience we should be having. We pollute that. We are not able to experience the two devotees, the great devotees in the past, when they come together just by chanting Hare Krishna or remembering some Krishna, they are in ecstasy. They feel so much joy, happiness. But when we come together and we try to say something about Krishna, we don't experience that, because that poison is still there in our heart. That poison has to be removed in our relationships, in our any sambandha. That's why vairagya is very misunderstood term. It's basically used by mostly impersonalist and mayavadis. They are fond of vairagya, vairagya, vairagya. They like this word very much, because they think everything is maya here, everything is material, mundane here. Don't indulge your emotions and feelings in this world, because this is illusory, this is maya. But devotees, they have a different understanding. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given us that beautiful understanding of what is actual real meaning of vairagya. Vairagya, anasaktasya vishayan upayun yatharaham upayunjata nirbande krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Such a beautiful definition Rupa Goswami has given. Yuktam, something which can be used in the service of Krishna should be used. It should not be rejected. And that's what the Mayavadis, impersonalists do. Which can be engaged in the service of the Lord, they reject it. And they lose the transcendental mercy of the Lord. They just, in their hallucination or imagination, they consider themselves, I am liberated, I am liberated. Sannyas dharana matrena or danda dharana matrena nara narayan bhavet. They consider, oh, I have become Narayan now, because I have hold a danda, a staff. Such a poor situation, poor understanding of their reality. And that's why they are misguided, they are unfortunate in that sense. But a devotee, Rupa Goswami has given us real renunciation. True, perfect renunciation means to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. That one should engage everything in the service of the Lord. Practically, there is nothing which cannot be engaged in the service of the Lord. Because how can Lord create something which cannot be used in His service? How is it possible? It's not possible. So, this is actual renunciation. So therefore, in our foolishness or in our immaturity, we should not deal hardly with the devotees. with a hard-heartedness, thinking that, oh, I am a great renunciate, I am a great vairagi, and he is bhogi, because externally it appears he is a bhogi. How Gadadhar Pandit was mistaken when he met Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda Datta told him that I am going to take you to a Mahabhagavat devotee, come. And Gadadhar Pandit was so much in ecstasy, oh, some Mahabhagavat devotee, I am going to get his darshan, association. So he was in great ecstasy, happiness, walking with Mukunda Datta, and then a beautiful palatial building, they entered into that. And Gadadhar Pandit was seeing, oh, such a palatial building. Then he entered a big hall with a wonderful an asana, simhasana bed, with such huge, thick, you know, mattresses on that, and a beautiful, effulgent personality, you know, sitting there, chewing the paan, you know, and betel nut, and you know, a red, and you know, a saliva was coming out, and there were servants standing, and chamara was being fanned, golden with golden hands. And Gadadhar Pandit, seeing all these things, he was thinking, my God, what a Mahabhagavat is this? Looks like he's a bhogi, he's a materialistic enjoyer. And understanding the mind of Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda started reciting that beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bakiyam Stanakalakutam. And when, you know, Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that verse, remembering Krishna killing the putana, and even if she was demoness, came to kill Krishna, Krishna delivered her. Seeing that, remembering that mercy of Krishna, he became mad in ecstasy, jumped from that bed, loudly crying out Krishna's name, falling on the ground, crying out. With his hands he started tearing apart the bed which he was sitting, all the cotton was like everywhere. He took that pot on which he used to, you know, throw, he beat it on the ground. Practically he dismantled every setting what was there on that hall. And seeing that, Gadadhar Pandit understood, oh, I have committed a great offense in my mind. I consider him as materialistic, but he is a great devotee, he is a Mahabhagavat devotee. Just by once reminding of him Krishna, he immediately went into great ecstasy. So just to atone for his offense, to get punishment from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit took initiation from him. So Vaishnava relations are so sensitive, so delicate, and so very sweet. So we should not just go by the externals of somebody, but we should understand that he is a devotee, he has surrendered his life to Prabhupada and his mission and Sankirtan movement. So I should have a loving relationship with him. I should love him. I should try to serve him. So this will help us to actually become the part of spiritual world. We can experience such ecstasies like Prahlad Maharaj is experiencing. We can also experience the same thing if we remove that poison from our heart and have true, genuine, loving relationships with the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Thank you all very much. I'm very sorry, just I went beyond time. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Hridaya Gaur Premanande Hari.